Let's do that clap again. Actually, yeah, set it down. Beautiful. Okay. So, hello all. I'm Nathan.
I'm Jay.
And this is streaming everywhere now. We are your pop culture headquarters for all things music, TV, movies, comics, video games,
books,
magazines, YouTube videos,
not Instagram reels,
even though I watch them all the time.
I'm trying to get him to go to TikTok. It's a slow race.
Yeah, I just won't talk about them then. But yeah, we got it all. We are your podcast destination for all things pop culture.
That we are.
And to start us off with our first episode, we're doing a little in media res. You'll meet us later. But for right now, I think that we should get into our topic for today.
Yeah. So do you want to do news first?
Let's do the news first. Yeah.
Okay. So I want to preface by saying usually there's going to be more.
Yes, of course.
But there's one particular story right now that has been going on for literal months. I think August. I probably should have looked that up.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, well. If you pay attention at all to anything pop culture, the one talk of the town is Blake Lively, Ryan Reynolds, Justin Baldoni in the movie that they created called This Ends With Us. So it all starts with this author who I am not a big fan of to begin with. Let's preface that. I have not read any of her work. That is on purpose. She is controversial. She has, there's a lot of prejudice that has gone on that has been pushed to the side. Let's just recognize that. Move on. I'm not a fan of Colleen Hoover. That's the author of the book.
Yes, of course. It's a Colleen Hoover book.
Yes, and it's about domestic violence and how hard it is to leave, even though we know that's the right thing to do.
Thus, it ending with us.
With us, yes. So Justin Baldoni, who pretty much got popular on the show Jane the Virgin, which was a CW show, he has been very outspoken about women's issues, women's rights, and he has done a lot of charity things, and he started a production company basically to highlight different stories for people whose voices need to be heard.
So
he reached out to Colleen Hoover and wanted to make this movie, tell the story, try to encourage women. Mm-hmm. So he buys the rights with his production company, who he, I want to say, owns major stake in.
Okay.
So he is funding the movie himself.
Yes.
It's his production company, but he is funding the movie. Mm-hmm. He is the director of the movie. He has producer credits. So he is in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Colleen Hoover wants Blake Lively to play the main character, Lily Bloom, which already had a lot of people had things to say about it because Lily Bloom is supposed to be in her early 20s. Not that there's anything wrong with getting an older actress to play a character, but I think it says a lot when the character is younger. There's a different dynamic
Absolutely.
Going on.
Yeah.
So she was offered the part. She did not audition. They wanted her to play the part, which red flag to me, but that was their decision.
Mm-hmm.
somewhere along the lines when they're filming, this is when I should get my notes out.
Okay.
Filming halts. I don't know why. I don't know if it was the writer's strike. I don't know if it was other measures.
Yeah, because it would have been around the time that all of the Hollywood strikes were happening, right?
Yeah. During that time. So filming stops, and Lively has come and said, I'm not returning to filming unless these things, I think it was 17 items, it could be less, it could be more,
True.
I don't remember
the
exact number. These things have to be put into place or I'm not coming back to film.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it was there has to be an intimacy coordinator on set. Good. We already have one. No problem. But they basically did these things so that we've already started filming this movie.
Mm-hmm.
we just got to keep it going. And it's Blake Lively, you know, right, it's Blake Lively. Everyone knows who she is. So what they didn't realize is with a lot of these things that she required, she was able to snake her way into controlling more and more things because they wanted her to be comfortable. But people say she takes advantage of that. So now she's telling her fellow actors what to do in different scenes. She is now in charge of the wardrobe, which if you've seen the wardrobe, oh my God.
I have not, but I'll take your word for it.
So she refused to work with the costume designer at all. She has gone on record saying all of the clothes are from her wardrobe, her husband Ryan Reynolds' wardrobe, and her friend, I think it's Gigi Hadid. I could be wrong. But it's only their clothes. And she's wearing two pairs of pants on top of each other. She's wearing Carhartt overalls with nothing underneath. She's wearing fishnet stockings under her pajama pants to go to bed. She's wearing those same fishnets under a pair of boots that are fishnets. And it's like, it's just...
Fishnet boots?
Yes. Okay. Fishnet boots. They sparkle. They sparkle. They are her real boots.
Well, if all of it's her real clothes, I mean, it is the idea that she's just trying to wear the whole costume? I mean, the whole wardrobe... out. She's like, well, I want to wear both these pants. I can't decide. I'll wear both of them.
I truly don't know what she was thinking, because so many people who have worked professionally in the fashion world have analyzed Lily Bloom's clothes, which is the name of the title character.
Yeah.
Not title character, but you know what I mean. And it just does not make sense, because Homegirl works in a flower shop. So she should be wearing tennis shoes, you know, like...
jeans.
Yeah, you know. She's not wearing heels to work. She's not carrying around a Prada bag. Like, it just does not make sense. He's making me worried. The cat is making me worried. Sorry, he's walking around.
No, I do not assume that he's going to jump up and try to kill the camera. Because he's good.
But other things that they were able to do, she and her husband, Ryan. He started writing scenes. He's on set. He is in all the promotion for the movie. Him and Hugh Jackman, who were promoting Deadpool 3, Deadpool and Wolverine, they are in it. And there is a interview. It's clearly like a bit.
I know, Jim. Yeah, like one of those canned interview advertisements.
Yeah. So in the movie, Lily Bloom has two love interests. It's her husband, who is... putting her through domestic violence, and a guy who's like, I believe, perceived to be like a savior-esque character, like someone who's a healthy depiction of what a relationship should be. And with that guy, who I'm sorry, I don't know your name, Ryan Reynolds interviews him, and he's like, so you're my wife's love interest, and I'm her husband. And it's just this very like weird, like almost aggressive like body language, and it's like, what, like, why are we doing this?
It's because he's Ryan Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
That's the answer.
Mm-hmm. So things keep going, the press tour is happening, and it's very noticeable that Blake Lively, the rest of the cast, Colleen Hoover, they're all interviewing together. They're all talking about the movie in a very strange way.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about how it's a good movie to see with your girlfriends. They're talking about all the fashion. Wear your florals. Get your girls together. Like, that's, like, a quote. I might have, like, not done it verbatim. But, like...
it rhymes. It's nice.
Like, girl power-esque. Yeah. Like, talking about how, like, Blake Lively herself is, like, the impact of the film. And not talking about the actual pressing issue of everything, which is... domestic violence.
Right. It's supposed to be about abuse and like relationship violence.
Mm-hmm.
But instead you're turning it into like, but actually, like, this is a fun romp with
exactly. And Baldoni is doing the press tour on his own. He is not with anyone else at any single point, and he is talking about these issues. He is raising awareness. He is talking about charities, like where you can donate, how you can help, the type of impact he wants this movie to make.
Yeah, kind of like the 13 Reasons Why, all of the kind of secondary stuff that would be kind of shown at you while you're watching the Netflix stuff.
Yeah, sure.
I love 13 Reasons Why.
And I didn't watch past the first season.
Yeah, well, they do a similar kind of, like, at the end of every episode, Hannah Baker comes on and mm-hmm. says, like, hey, if you're dealing with these issues, yeah. here are resources. And that was sort of the concession between making the show in the first place, which is in bad taste, in my opinion, also.
But people, the public is starting to notice this. They're like, why isn't Blake Lively talking about the important issues? Why is she talking about where your florals get your girl pals together?
Of course. Yeah.
And then old interviews start to surface of her being like a mean girl. Like during the Gossip Girl era, people are talking about how Leighton Meester, who plays, oh my gosh, the other Gossip Girl. Oh my gosh, Blair Waldorf. I cannot believe I forgot that for a second.
Me too.
They never got along. Mm-hmm. To put it to a little backstory, Leighton Meester's family life was hard. She was born in prison. Like her mother was in prison when she had her. She had a really rough childhood, and she basically like financially supported her family based on Gossip Girl. And the entire time, Blake Lively was being not so nice about it, and she was making not so subtle comments about it in interviews. And like it was clear that these two girls did not like each other, stuff was showing up. And there was another interviewer who posted an interview. That I believe this was months ago, of Blake just being like nasty, and it was just not a good look. So, some time passes, and all of a sudden, Blake and Ryan are suing Justin Baldoni,
right?
For this smear campaign, and also he's been sexually harassing her on set.
Okay. That part I did hear about in like that's included mm-hmm. in the headlines or whatever.
Yes.
Because I'm pulling back the curtain here. You did all of the research for this story, and I am the audience surrogate, I guess. I'm here to ask questions and infer things from an outside perspective.
Yes, and when I forget things, he'll remember to ask what I mean. But it's like you put out the smear campaign against me when really it's just like her not looking good in the public eye by being herself. And also he's allegedly sexually harassing her in this lawsuit. The New York Times also, the same day this lawsuit was filed against Baldoni, put out an article about the lawsuit.
Okay.
So it is clear that the New York Times and Lively Reynolds side has been corroborating with the New York Times.
Yeah.
To like make themselves look good.
Right. They had like foreknowledge of what's going to happen.
Yes. And I'm never going to knock a woman for reporting sexual harassment.
Same here.
But there are some interesting things that Baldoni's lawyer has released to the public since they are now suing, Baldoni is suing Lively Reynolds, their publicists, and other people for $400 million.
So like a countersuit.
A countersuit. Yes, exactly. Because, well, I should say this as well, Baldoni's lawyer said he is ecstatic for the public to see all of the evidence that they are going to put forth in this trial. And they have released some footage, some recordings, some text, and a lot of it is pretty damning.
Ooh.
So, for instance, in Lively's suit, she claims that Baldoni was like talking about her weight and her body, and she was uncomfortable with the situation. And to counteract that, Baldoni's side released text messages and like recordings and audio from the movie behind the scenes.
Okay.
So it was like she was talking about how for the part that she just had for her fourth baby, and she wants to get really in shape for this role.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Well, we just want you as you are. You're beautiful. Like you don't need to like get in the best shape of your life for this role. We just want you." Like,
yeah.
And she was basically like, "No, we're gonna be the sex icons. People are gonna come because we're so hot." So that was that situation.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah. Another one was that she complained that he walked into her trailer when she was breastfeeding.
Okay.
But there's like reports, by reports I mean like obvious text messages that weren't messed with, that were her inviting him into her trailer in that moment so they could go over lines with each other.
And she's just chilling.
Yeah.
Boob out. Yeah. Maybe.
Which, like, she's probably covered. I don't know if she's not. Right. That's her prerogative.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, like, she clearly invited him in.
Yeah, he did not burst in. And yeah. Who knows? Maybe he didn't knock and he just walked in the trailer like, hey, what's up? But still, like, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of plausible deniability on the side of the movie and Baldoni and whatnot.
Yes, yes. And before I go on, I have to tell you this because I think you'll think it's funny. The person who has been reporting on this that I've seen probably the most and has, like, the most insider influence or, like, people coming to her is Candace Owens. Which I do not agree with Candace Owens that in any capacity, but she's reporting on this in her biased perspective.
Of course.
But she's getting, like, insider people to, like, DMing her and telling her information. So not all of the stuff comes from her. Like, it's gathered from various sources, but I have been watching.
Yeah, that she happens to actually be, like, a nexus of information in this story.
Like, people are like, they're gonna go after you next because she's reporting on it so much.
I can't wait.
Yeah. But from these reports, it has been alleged, speculated that the reason all this is happening is that Miss Lively fell for Baldoni during filming.
No.
Yes. Yes. Oh. And I would also like to point out that she dated her co-star on Gossip Girl. She met Ryan Reynolds when he was married to Scarlett Johansson on Green Lantern.
Okay.
She has dated various other co-stars. So I want to put that out there.
Wait, they met on Green Lantern?
They met on Green Lantern. And she was dating someone else and he was married to ScarJo.
Wow.
Yeah. And ScarJo and Ryan Reynolds have said there was no cheating, but a lot of celebs say that to save face. So who knows what happened? So people are speculating that Blake Lively fell for Justin Baldoni. And I'm not going to lie, I heard some of those voice memos he sent her late at night. And I think it's a little weird, but also
the voice messages he sent her?
Yeah. It's, like, about work and, like, we support you in, like, this deep masculine, you know, like, your sleepy voice. Do you know what I mean? Like,
how that's
a little rougher.
It sounds like he's being sexual.
Yes.
Even though he's just like, so yeah, work tomorrow. I hope you feel comfortable in our scenes together.
Yeah, but, like, even a little more forward.
Okay.
Than that.
Okay.
Like, it was like, it could sound like flirting, but also I feel horrible not remembering. But he's a pacifist, and, like, what he practices is, like, love everybody and yourself and be open and honest with those things. It's, like, an actual practice that I'm blanking on the name of.
Okay.
So, like, it correlates with that. Do I necessarily think he should have been sending her those voice memos at 2 a.m. when they could have been an email the next morning?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That part's weird. That's a weird overreach kind of thing.
But
weird.
I guess if you think you're friends with your co-star and you think you have that relationship.
Right. Yeah. There's, you know, that there's, you know, they feel like he feels like he can.
Yeah.
Be having these late night messages, conversations.
Yeah.
Also, movie sets, 12-hour days. Mm-hmm. I would not be surprised if that's normal going to bed time.
But that being said, because of all this stuff where there's speculation that Lively may like Baldoni, there was an argument that was overheard in Lively's trailer between Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively on the set. Like, crew heard them arguing. Mm-hmm. I don't think they heard what they said, but they heard screaming at each other.
Wow.
And apparently Ryan had been looking at the dailies on the movie set. Okay. And if you don't know what the dailies are, that's, like, the recordings from that day.
Yeah, yeah. It's you're watching back everything that you shot, basically.
Yeah. And apparently he saw something he did not like, which caused that argument, which caused him to be a part of production more and rewriting scenes. He rewrote one of the most, I think, I haven't seen the movie, like I said, but when I saw people talking about it, like one of the most iconic scenes in the book, I think it's like a balcony scene or a rooftop scene or something like
that. Some sort of setting scene.
Yes, which was also during the writer's strike. Yeah, just to put that out there. So that's why Ryan Reynolds supposedly got involved.
To write the movie.
Because he thought that his wife was in love with another man.
No, that's awesome.
And he basically vowed to have Justin Baldoni never work again.
Okay. I'm starting to, you know, the pieces are all falling together in my mind.
Yes, yes.
This is beautiful.
So I'm going to basically leave with one last thing. And it's a text exchange between Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni. I think it's late at night. And she seems a little manic in these texts. Like, it's long text exchanges.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's giving, like, one or two sentence responses.
Awesome.
And hers are paragraphs. And they're separated weird. Like, she's hitting the enter button in weird spacings.
Yeah.
But one, it's a vague threat, in my opinion. But
do you have it?
I do. I have the quote. It's, if you ever get around to watching Game of Thrones, you'll appreciate that I'm Khaleesi. And like her, I happen to have a few dragons. For better or worse, but usually better. Because my dragons also protect those I fight for. So really, we all benefit from those gorgeous monsters of mine. You will too, I can promise you. And he's referencing an exchange where she invited him over for a meeting at her home apartment, I don't know. Where Taylor Swift and Ryan Reynolds were waiting for him to have this meeting, to basically, like, threaten him into submission.
Why is Taylor Swift there?
Because Blake Lively and Taylor Swift are best friends.
Oh, okay.
But it has now been reported and retracted since that Taylor Swift has stepped back from the Blake Lively friendship.
Ooh, probably because this is some horrible press.
Yes. Awful press, and the Chiefs just got into the Super Bowl again.
Yes.
But the NFL is rigged. We know this. I'm sorry, Dad. The NFL is rigged. Sorry.
And also, both Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are time-traveling Satanists.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter yesterday.
Well, if you saw it on Twitter. But anyway, Taylor Swift has, like, taken a step back from their friendship. And then I was watching the news this morning. My news ET came on.
After, okay, the real news.
Yeah, after I had been watching, not Hoda and Jenna. I guess it's just Jenna now. And that is not true. So Taylor Swift has not taken a step back from the friendship. So I don't know. But yeah, that's what's going on with the lawsuit. There's a million and one other things I could have said.
I'm sure. I feel like, you know, I'm invested now.
It is long. It is gossip.
Watch
worthy.
This story. Watch this space. We are gonna be following
updated.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all I watch. Like, I'm not even lying. It's all on my timeline is political stuff, and then just
I know. We were watching TV yesterday, and you're like, I'm sorry. It's just, it's so good.
Well, I have to educate myself.
Of course. No, and I mean, I would too. Yeah. Like, because like you said, this is some juicy stuff.
It's juicy.
There's so many angles.
It's so many angles. And my childhood best friend, who I'm still best friends with, was obsessed with Blake Lively, especially in high school.
Like,
so,
like just her in general.
Yeah, like her in general, who she is, like how she got to her position. And because of that, like, I know so much about Blake Lively. So it's, like, deep-rooted. Going back.
And you watched Gossip Girl.
Yes. I never finished it. I've probably watched the first three seasons a billion times over.
How many are there?
Six or seven.
Okay, cool.
I know who Gossip Girl is. Unfortunate choice. no spoilers.
Yeah, because, I mean, I now have to watch it. So that we can.
No, I actually think you'd really love it.
I probably would. Because I'm a messy bitch who loves drama.
We're both messy bitches who love drama, and that's why it works.
That's why it works. I'm still thinking about the Love Island we've been watching. But, you know, we will be redressing that much later. After we finish this season, we can talk about
then it will be the three seasons that we watched.
It will be. And I kind of want to say that the season we're currently watching, which is from 2022.
Yes.
I went to high school
with one of the
guys that's on it.
Yeah.
So
we will reveal which guy later.
Yes. So stay tuned. Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned. Watch this space. Yeah. I think then with the news portion
concluded. Because that's all that's going on in the world.
That is all. That's the only thing
going on in the world.
The only thing that is happening, especially here in America.
Nothing bad is happening.
So I think then we should do a little transition,
little slide
into our next topic.
Yeah.
The actual sort of the main story of this which is our favorite eras.
I'm personally a fan of the Speak Now and Red eras.
Ah, I see.
We will be talking about Taylor Swift, but at a different time. No, we're
different
talking about
eras.
Different decades of like favorite media, movies, TV shows.
Exactly. Kind of considering the overall general consensus of that time period of like the, you know, the music, movies, television shows, and just kind of things that, you know, happen.
Yeah.
You know?
The different things that led to other forms of media and, you know, how that all escalated to the crazy superhero stuff we have now.
We will be spending, I'm sure, the entire course of this show discussing that's the ultimate end goal.
Oh yeah.
Do you want to start? Do you want me to start?
I think I'll have you start.
You'll have me start.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm gonna piggyback off you.
So my favorite era, the camera is actually just slightly canted away from my record shelf. I love the 70s. It's gonna be what I'm really going to bat for here.
And I'm not gonna argue with you on that.
I love the music mostly. That is the top thing for me. It's just 70s music.
Rattle off some artists. Yeah.
Well, when I was 14, I got really into Olivia Newton-John.
I love that. That's the first one.
I
can attest to that. He plays it in the car the time and in the shower.
Talk to Me by Olivia Newton-John on a cassette tape that my mom had. It spoke volumes to me. Going from there, I just keep going, you know. I like me some King Crimson. I like me some Genesis. I also like, you know, more of the R&B and soul stuff. I really like the Isley Brothers. And I like Kool and the Gang.
Is Steely Dan 70s?
Steely Dan is 70s. Yeah, okay. Basically. Almost entirely their output is 70s. Another like peak example. I mean, let's go. but like it isn't just the music, because I do listen to music from all time periods, unless it's from the past 10 years. For sure, I'm not listening to any of that. I'm sorry. There's some that I will, but I generally do not.
The stuff he will is my music that I make him listen to.
That is precisely right. So I may be a little biased here, but
no.
I have my backup decades are also my favorite, you know, kind of music and whatnot. But it's also the movies and the TV shows. In the 70s, movies go a whole new direction from the sort of old Hollywood, big, grand, epic movies, historical epics, 50s, 60s, stuff like Ben-Hur, or like Lawrence of Arabia, are sort of these big movies that studio model explodes in the 60s, and then in the 70s, you are left with a much darker, more artistic-driven, like auteur-driven people. That's where
Coppola comes out of, and Scorsese, and a lot of these more...
Would you say it's more postmodern?
It is very much more postmodern. They're doing a lot of pushing conventions. They're doing a lot to sort of bring in a little more realism elements in just how dark and gritty everything is, which is why someone like my mom looks back way less fondly on the 70s because she was a kid. She was born in 1970, so was my dad. So, like, as she would describe it, you know, everything you see on TV is a war movie or a cop show or a Western, and there's nothing, you know, aside from like a Saturday morning cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems very dark. But I think that sort of darkness is actually, again, where a lot of artistic and auteur-driven films come out of. And then that is what creates the output of movies throughout, like, then the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And then things start to change in the 90s and whatnot. But you do have more of this style of film studios, smaller scale, doing your own thing. And I think that's really cool. I think that's also going to happen soon.
I hope so, especially with A24.
Yeah, like, and the way that streaming operates, nothing exists for itself to just make its own thing. Streaming will go, the movies will go to streaming, and there's no money being generated anymore. There's no media, there's no DVDs being bought.
Yeah. And that's why shows are getting canceled after one season without giving them a chance to get viewership.
So my hope is that after someone, you know, does something about things, that I will then create my movies in the ashes.
Of course, you want someone else to do the work for you, and then you can reap the benefits.
I need somebody else to, you know, knock off a few heads, if you know what I'm saying.
Jokes.
Jokes.
Jokes. Jokes.
It's all in Minecraft. But we're gonna, you know, that's when I'm gonna have my own American Zoetrope, where I make my own The Godfather.
I haven't even seen The Godfather, so I would love to see your version of it.
Yeah, my version of The Godfather. I texted this to my friends. It's the last scene in The Godfather, but instead of whacking all of your enemies in the mob, it's all of the streamers on Kick. Mr. Beast.
I always forget that Kick's a thing.
Or Mr. Beast, I'm sorry. Mr. Beast is also evil, but Mr. Beast is the one that somebody needs to do something about.
Kick always reminds me of middle school. It really did surprise me when it took off again when I was in college. I just never used it. I'm sorry, this is really off topic. But
different Kick.
Oh, okay.
You're talking K-I-K? Okay.
Yeah.
K-I-C-K?
I'm lost.
It's what if Twitch was evil?
I feel like that's an oxymoron.
So,
isn't Twitch already evil?
Twitch is evil, but it is very much like, you know, based on just the gamers and people doing that kind of thing. Kick is a whole other kind of thing where it's like, I'm gonna speed in my car down the highway for that's the stream. Or in the case of someone like Mr. Beast, who is this like 55-year-old disgusting looking man who's hanging around with all of these like 20-year-olds.
Fantastic.
And like the 20-year-old women that he is like groping and trying to kiss.
So this is like where the boys get the right alt pipeline stuff.
There is a I forgot the name of the autistic child that he is manipulating, there is someone in that community that is basically, they're always just pushing his buttons. He's like a lol cow.
They're using him for entertainment and not treating him like a human being.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And Mr. Beast is just like, like,
that sounded so loud.
I'm sorry. Sorry. Yeah, we're still getting used to the microphones and everything. So I will fix things, maybe, unless it's funny. But that did kind of veer off topic little bit. But I just really wanted to talk about the Kit stuff because it's so evil.
Other 70s stuff you love. TV shows.
MASH.
I love MASH.
MASH is good.
I think MASH is the main sort of show that I think of when I think of 70s like TV output. Mm-hmm. I've also when I was 14, I got really into Starsky and Hutch because that was also what was on this cassette tape. Was one of my mom's sisters had like recorded the audio from the TV of a Starsky and Hutch episode, which I then downloaded on my phone so I could watch it. And I would walk through the middle school hallways. I'd rewind it back to the intro theme song. And I would just be jamming, walking through the hallways.
I feel like with even that technology, you're dating yourself.
Yeah, yeah. and that's that. A lot of times, like in like middle and high school, I devoted a lot of my time and attention to watching older media. Like I would watch Friends, and then after watching Friends, I'm like, you know, what are these other things that they're referencing? Yeah. And then I would eventually, you know, you see Three's Company on TV, and then I'm like, that's a Three's Company reference that Monica makes in this random line.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Whatever.
So it's like the pieces of the puzzle are connecting.
Exactly.
I feel that way just like about getting older in general. Like even like in the terms of like watching Jeopardy, like
yeah.
things just make more sense because you live life.
Right.
Like,
yeah. You went to high school at least.
Yeah.
And you
yeah,
can
yeah.
be like, I remember that name.
I learned things about the world, and now I understand how life connects a little bit more.
Yeah. Some of the trickier questions, you're like, well, I think it might be that, and then it actually is that because that's all you needed to know. It's
yeah.
it's actually not that hard. So, take me on Jeopardy.
Yeah, this is actually just a promotional stunt to get him on.
Review
there.
My test. I'm sure I got in. and I will be doing it again. I think I did that in like October. So,
unfortunately, you only qualified for Pop Culture Jeopardy.
Damn. Which we also need to go on.
See you soon, Colin Jost.
You, me, and BB are gonna.
Oh, this is BB.
Yeah,
this
we haven't
BB.
Formally introduced him yet.
He's the cat. If you're not watching,
he's the cat.
He
yeah.
is.
If you're just listening to the audio, there's
yeah.
a cat on the couch. If you are watching, I cannot see what the camera sees until after we watch this, but I think it can probably see him.
Yeah. He's just taking
best.
A little nap. Oh. Sidetracked.
Yeah,
sidetracked.
But yeah, the sort of TV shows. There's some good comedies. I think
is the Monkees 70s.
The Monkees is 60s. The Monkees are a 60s thing, and that's why they're much cornier.
That tracks.
They feel like you're watching the Batman TV series.
Yeah.
Because also MASH is super corny, but it's corny in a much more grounded way.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a movie, it's a TV show about war in a very satirical anti-war
yeah.
like it's based, and it has cool things to say.
Mm-hmm.
We watched the final episode, not the final episode, but a couple scenes from the final episode in my ethics class, which I thought was funny because I was like, oh my god, we're watching MASH. But there, it's just a very, and that goes into the early 80s as well.
Yeah.
I think it's a funny show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good vibe. I have memories from also high school of getting ready for homecoming. I would have my little get-togethers, my little shindigs for events like that. But then it would usually be like, you know, man, we're watching MASH, you know, beforehand, eating, getting ready. And I'm like, I just want to stay here and watch MASH.
I mean, I don't blame you. I've only seen a few episodes, but I thought I liked it. I
yeah.
thought it was funny.
Well, I think we'll revisit it at some point.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
But yeah.
Any other?
I think that does kind of cover a lot of the sort of bases I wanted to.
The coreness of
yeah, yeah, yeah.
your era.
Because also when people think of the 70s, it's also essentially the death knell of America and whatnot. Not because of Carter. he's also there, but it's the neoliberal turn, and then everything goes down the drain with Reagan. just a little bit of political commentary for you, even though it's our pop culture show. We are also cool, so
it'll be there.
It'll be there. But you have a lot of, I think that the sort of American pop culture is definitely gaining a lot more traction. Mm-hmm. In just in terms of,
I like how funky it gets.
It gets funky. The butterfly collars, the big suits and stuff. The stuff that everybody thinks of when they stereotypically think 70s, which I also think because it rots.
Which I would like to point out your outfit.
This is 70. This is a 70s to 90s outfit, I think. I got
monochrome, tannish brown with some corduroy going.
Velour shirt.
Yeah.
I love this outfit.
You're rocking it.
But yeah, like it's a very, I think, cool time. I think that it is still very corny. Mm-hmm. But I think that's appealing. I like the long hair. I like the hairiness. It's a little scary, obviously. I know you don't like the hairiness at all. But I, you know, someday I'll have a big, scary, bushy 70s mustache, and I will be washing my hair with Dove bar soap.
No comment. All right, I think we transitioned
my base. Yeah.
So you talked a lot about how you started liking this stuff when you were in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I was not introduced to any movies, music, whatever.
Of any kind
in my family. That was just not their vibe.
They did not consume anything.
No, and if they did, they didn't really show it to me. Like, they didn't show me cool movies and music, and along the way my parents would be like, how do you not know that? It's like, well, because that was your job.
Which is very funny.
Yeah. So I had to go seeking it out on my own, which didn't really happen. Music until college, but we'll talk about that a different time.
Where your music comes from is still, I still just think about it and chuckle to myself.
We'll get there in episode 2. Mm. So come back for that one. But I started really watching movies in high school. Mm-hmm. Because I was in my superhero phase, and that just made me branch out into other things and like how other things reflected upon others. And I have found that my favorite time is the 90s and early bleeding into the early 2000s.
Basically the time frame of Friends.
But of course I guess it is some early 90s.
It's 94 to 2004. Yeah. So
it's the perfect decade.
Yeah. Also a similar, the time frame of late Frasier. But yeah, you're not afraid of 9/11. You'll let a little bit of 9/11 happen to the stuff that you like.
Oh my God.
In terms of what that does to culture, you know, some of that is still okay. You know,
we're
both born around the turn of the century.
We are.
So.
I was 11 months old when that happened. So
I was in my mother at the time.
Yeah.
And I believe at an appointment, like some sort of ultrasound or checkup or whatever, when it happened.
It's like when you're a kid in grade school and they tell you for an assignment to ask your parents where they were when it happened. Moving on.
Yeah.
Anyway. Back to the
90s. Yeah, a little 9/11 detour there. Sorry, guys.
I just remembered something I want to talk about with you later.
Okay.
About politics, but we don't have to talk about that.
Yeah.
I wrote that, funny enough, you said Friends stops in 2004, and in my notes I wrote that I stopped liking the media as much in 2004, so you're literally dead on, which is really funny.
It's perfect, because I will also say, like, my love for the 70s, again, that does not totally eclipse all of the other 20th century decades.
Oh, absolutely not. No.
Because 90s is also where some of the best.
And I love how campy the 80s is.
Yeah,
which
leads
into the 90s.
But 90s, the sort of end of history-ness of it all, where everyone's just kind of hanging out.
And they don't know if they're going to die when Y2K happens.
Exactly. And then, spoiler alert, they all do.
That's why I was born in 2000, because
yeah, we're part of the new generation of humanity.
We are. sad generation that it is. No. All right. So I broke mine into sections because I like lists. So
I have a list. I wrote it 15 minutes before we started setting up.
Heck yeah. I wrote my list about 2 weeks ago. So the first part is I like that we see a lot of switch to female leads in TV shows. We get Buffy, we get Veronica Mars, we get Charmed, we have Sex and the City, and we have Gilmore Girls, which is the best show that has ever been created.
Which also, that starts in 2000, right?
Yes. So, again, bleeding into early 2000s.
But it is, the again, until 9/11 happens, I think it's still pretty much the same decade.
Yeah. No, you're literally right. That's when an entire media shift happened.
Country music becomes unlistenable, which it already was for a couple of years, not gonna lie.
Yeah. But yeah, no, like it's crazy when you look at what happens and like do your own research on it, because
do your own research, folks.
Like it's wild.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have like The Sopranos when it comes to drama. And,
yeah.
Twin Peaks is also something you talk about a lot that you really, really want me to watch, and that my best friend also really, really wants me to watch. And
yeah, and that's 90. It's 90 to 91.
Yeah.
So, which is still
which
like,
are fake years.
Yeah. Oh, big time.
Fake years.
It's like how also like the Simpsons and Seinfeld both start in 89.
I do have Seinfeld on here too, but again, it doesn't count. The 89 is the 90s. It is.
It's the long 90s. It's like the long 18th century, mm-hmm. where it's like, no, actually, we also count 89, and we also count up to September 2001.
Exactly. I am a 90s baby, actually.
True dat.
Born 2000, I'm a 90s baby.
True dat.
I have an older sister who was a 90s baby, so that just means I am a 90s baby.
Which also, I will say, to defend your family against these heinous attacks, that you grew up on your sister's media.
I did. So that is something else I wanted to talk about. We were a Disney and Nick household. So I grew up watching DCOMs. I grew up watching Drake and Josh and Zoe 101. And The Amanda Show, and yeah, those have dark histories, but at the time we didn't know that. But yeah, we were a Disney household. I was running back from the bathroom on commercial breaks because we did not want to miss a second.
Of course.
Yeah, but I got all those good 90s TV shows and movies, and then of course she grew up and I kept watching, so I watched through the 2000s, and they are very much integral to who I am today. So yes, we will be watching more together.
Oh, yeah. No, sure. I would love to.
But along the lines of sitcoms, again, we talked about Friends already, which is one of the best sitcoms of all time.
Like, it for me, it really is kind of in a league of its own because it's so ubiquitous.
It's on every station ever.
It's on every station
constantly
ever.
Playing 24 hours a day.
It's you can always jump in. I've probably seen watched the show probably like a dozen times by now.
And we're doing a rewatch all the way through on Max.
Yeah. But like it's such a I wouldn't necessarily even say that it's like the funniest or the best. But it is just the perfect show to just put on.
It has an undeniable charm to
it. Absolutely. I like hearing the laugh track in the background mm-hmm. when I'm doing chores and stuff.
That's a show it works for.
It really does. My brain just sort of can read the Friends pacing like perfectly.
Yeah,
I'm anticipating what the next line delivery is going to be because I know all of the lines. That's why it's also fun when you do see something that they don't play a lot.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God.
No, there have been a few episodes on a rewatch that I feel like I've never seen before because my my intake of Friends was Nick and Knight.
Right. So they usually aren't chronological.
They're not chronological, especially nowadays. They do weird themes. Right. But they also like leave certain episodes out because there's just not like themes that they want on.
The strip club episode.
The strip club
was the
episode
one that you mostly were like, oh my God, what is this?
I think there's an episode where they reference It's the cigarette episode.
Yes.
Where Rachel has to decide if she wants to smoke or not with her boss.
The one about, when she's working at Ralph Lauren.
Yeah. I think there's one where they mention weed that they don't play a lot on Nick at Night. But it's stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. TBS is a little more like chronological, and they will play more like batches of episodes together. Also, more of those more content less appropriate, you know, because it still is primetime television.
It's, yeah, and then they play The Big Bang Theory, and then I change the channel.
Yes, exactly.
sorry.
But no, I think you're right that Friends is.
It's iconic.
It's iconic.
It's like undeniably iconic.
I would go to thrift stores, and like Goodwill, basically just like with my mom, and I would be like, I need this shirt. It's something that Chandler would wear.
See, it's funny you say that because about 3 years ago, I got really back into The Nanny, which is another '90s show.
Another show we have,
which is Israeli propaganda. But when I was 9 years old watching that on Nick at Night, I did not internalize that.
Why is it Israeli?
Because she's Jewish, and they talk about going to Israel, and they go on, is it a Shabbat? Is that, I could be wrong. I'm sorry, I don't know the terms.
I think Shabbat is.
Like when, no, Shabbat is a holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Not Jewish.
We're also not anti-Semitic.
We're not. No. I think people have the right to live.
Yeah, we're anti-Zionist here.
Yes.
And anti-Israel, but we like Jewish people.
Yeah, of course. But my point being is I thrifted clothes to look like The Nanny.
Yeah. Which is awesome, by the way.
Like that the show's good. Besides the blatant propaganda, which cannot necessarily be ignored as an adult.
And besides, it's not like she's wearing an IDF uniform all the time. There's probably people wearing them
in the show.
Probably,
I'm gonna be honest with you.
Yeah. We're gonna do a critical rewatch of that show. But most of the time, she's just sexy. So
true.
True. That's something that why not emulate that?
I also put on Frasier, which we are sort of watching.
Frasier, let's go.
Boy Meets World, which is iconic.
Boy Meets World, let's go. I only watched the first couple seasons, but I was obsessed with that show. I was always mad that I was never invited to kissing parties. Because I thought that was just a thing that happens all the time.
No, because when you're young and you see stuff like that, and then you're like, oh, that's not what being a teenager's like. That's not what being an adult's like.
Yeah, that
and
when
it's
I'm
shocking.
When I'm like 11 watching Boy Meets World when Corey is supposed to also be 11.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm gonna learn stuff from this. Like I'm a boy in the 90s watching Boy Meets World. And then it's like, yeah, this is a 7 minutes in heaven party where the boys and the girls are kind of just randomly paired off to go make out in a closet for 7 minutes.
That happens a lot in 90s shows. It happens in Full House too. I think it's Stephanie gets invited to a makeout party and they guilt trip that girl hard. Like her family, they guilt trip that girl hard.
Oh, no.
They make it, I mean, like all of that, like the cigarette episode too, where like her friend's smoking in the bathroom.
That one rocks.
That one was on all the time and did change me fundamentally. I don't know why. It's also very much in line with the episode where DJ was fake caught drinking. And what I mean that is that boys spilled beer on her and her uncle thought she was drinking. Those are the same episode. It's just with two different characters.
That's Full House is another one.
And for some reason, I do not know why I put this on here because I wrote it 2 or 3 weeks ago. I put Everybody Loves Raymond, which is not a show that I've watched.
Yeah, no. Everybody Loves Raymond. That's something that I think I internalized from my parents. But just that, like, if that show comes on, you just go, oh, and you turn it off.
They used to play it at my dentist office. That was in a Sears. Maybe that's why I put it on here.
No, that's awesome. No, like, that's just one of the shows that, like, I think my parents just hated. And speaking of 90s shows, my mom hated Mad About You, which is another, well-loved 90s sitcom, because she's like, it's just these people arguing all the time. Why would I want to watch that?
I feel like that's 99% of shows, though.
That is also 99% of shows.
The way conflicts work in specifically sitcom TV is it's just miscommunication. It's the miscommunication trope, and after a while, it becomes lazy writing.
And that's like why my mom hates it.
Yeah,
she's like, why would I turn on this show if I'm just gonna watch this couple argue?
Yeah,
like why would I invite that energy into my home?
I get that. Your mom is a very level-headed woman, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
I also wanted to talk about the rom-com boom, because I am a rom-com girly.
Yeah, this is definitely your wheel.
I've never seen You Got Mail, which is one of the most iconic rom-coms, specifically from the 90s.
Is that Matthew Perry?
No, it is Tom Hanks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's about emails. It is not relevant today, unfortunately. Not like the love story of it all, but like how they talk.
I think my friends have watched that, but I have not. I don't know if they like watched it without me. That would be funny.
Yeah, so but like Clueless... oh my gosh, I didn't write
Legally
down
Blonde.
Legally Blonde is early 2000s, but again, we're talking about that bleed through, because it really is just a piggyback, like straight off.
I still don't even know if Legally Blonde and Clueless are different movies.
They are absolutely different movies. They are blonde, they look nothing alike.
You see, that's just from my seeing posters or whatever, I'm like, or even frames from the movie, like
Elle Woods, Legally Blonde, is Reese Witherspoon.
And
Clueless is Alicia Silverstone. Yes.
Okay. I do know.
Yes.
That. Okay. Because my mom has an Alicia Silverstone cookbook.
I love that for her. Other good movies, Forrest Gump.
Okay. Yeah.
Goodfellas, Titanic, iconic.
Oh, we should watch Titanic.
The only time I've ever seen Titanic was at a sleepover.
That's a good sleepover movie.
And none of them know this, but I cried silently to myself. None of them know this.
Because you hated the movie?
No, because the ship was sinking and I was sad. And I was mad because that bitch could not move over on that board. And Mythbusters said he could have fit.
Yeah, he definitely could have fit.
What else was I going to say? I'm sorry, I'm looking at my list over here.
No, that's fine. I'll talk about Titanic all day. I mean...
Oh, honorable mention for late 90s, early 2000s movies, live action Scooby-Doo.
Oh.
James Gunn, I have read what your vision was supposed to be. And my God, I wish it could have come into fruition.
It's where they're lesbians, right?
That is not the only thing, but yes. it was just supposed to be like a higher rated movie.
Exactly. It's supposed to be a scary movie.
Scary movie where the characters are... doing things that they wouldn't do in a PG rated movie.
Exactly.
Like Shaggy is a stoner, but like
actually
like smoking weed compared to the cooking sandwiches in his van.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was supposed to be a kiss between Daphne and Velma. That being said, the movies themselves, as they are currently made, beautiful masterpieces. Love them. Have seen them a million times. I have with one of my best friends, we were watching the first one, I think, and we created an entire theme park while we were watching the movie because we were so inspired by it. Because it's that good of content that it makes you want to make your own art.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Just so good.
It's inspirational.
It's so good. I did make you watch those ones.
You did. And I loved it. I mean, they're great.
Truthfully, I did not prepare anything about music for the 90s. For some reason, that evaded me. But as you will come to learn, music is not my preferred form of like media to consume.
If you're just
going to
sit down and do something, you're not going to sit down and put on an album.
No. I'm going to watch something. I'm going to read something. Like,
I feel that.
As you know, specifically, Nathan, that I'm not a true music listener.
And I don't hold that against you.
I appreciate that.
You know, I can do all the music listening for both of us.
You do.
But if I mean, I can talk 90s music. For me, 90s music, the 90s music that I do listen to, of course, comes from my parents, which is the 90s alt rock. Stuff like 10,000 Maniacs, also an 80s group, but, you know, MTV Unplugged. Anything MTV Unplugged, actually. Whether that is Nirvana or... 10,000 Maniacs.
10 Things I Hate About You. Also a good movie. Sorry.
I might be blanking on this, but I think Eric Clapton has an MTV Unplugged. I'm not too crazy about that, but the whole thing that I'm trying to get at is grunge.
Grunge.
And grunge is the good stuff.
Which Pearl is how I dressed when I was in college.
Which, hubba hubba. But, you dress like Eddie Vedder in the Even Flow music video, which is awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Definitely my type all the way.
Rock on.
But, yeah, Pearl Jam and Nirvana.
See, as you say these bands, I like them.
Exactly. It's so, like, oh, yeah.
My point stands.
Yeah.
It's the 90s.
There's other... other groups like Candlebox that I've only listened to a little bit of, but I'm still like
yeah,
same kind of like, yeah, let's go. The 90s stuff that I used to listen to more in high school and middle school would be like Barbie Girl. I listened to
Eurovision
that song.
Type stuff.
Yeah. No, I listened to Barbie Girl. Set like, oh my god, a billion times. Specifically in like sixth grade, I was obsessed with it.
And I was obsessed with it when I was younger.
Sound on the bus, riding home. Let's play some Barbie Girl. Maybe that'll make a girl talk to me.
It's why I talk to you. I have a distinct memory listening to that song when I was like a child, like single digit child. And I had one of those elephant butterfly things,
yes.
You know, like you turned it on and like the air would push the butterflies up and you catch them in a net.
Yes.
And I would turn that song on, turn my elephant on and have a blast.
Oh my God. That sounds incredible.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. No, I would just watch the music video and over and over again. I think it's because I thought it was funny that it's a song. It is funny that it's a song.
It is funny that it's a song.
However, I think if I had to actually listen to like 90s pop dance music like that, it would make my ears bleed after a while.
Do you remember that meme song that came out like last year that was like Eurovision?
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's Kyle Gordon.
Yes. It is a comedian who made this song.
Yeah.
And he is spot on with his interpretation of what that music is.
Life at Never Die. Women are my favorite guy. I'm not like, he's someone like, and we'll definitely do something more about like sketch comedy and stuff.
Oh, 100%.
But the way I feel about sketch comedy, I feel about him and other similar TikTokers in that line from that song, it hits every time.
I know. You would say it like randomly. Like you would be doing things, you'd just say it.
Yeah, because when it came out, I watched it once and there's just something about it. I think that is such a great line, but I cannot get behind any other Kyle Gordon is great YouTube video or like YouTube TikToks, the ones where he's like, I'm a ball player in the 1920s, and it's like it's so tired.
I really haven't watched any of his work. I'm sorry, Kyle. I saw you in a positive light until this.
it's just the sketch comedy thing.
Yeah.
It's like if
sketch comedy is hit or miss.
It always
which again
is.
We will talk about.
Yeah.
My last thing that I wanted to talk about was books, because I was a big reader.
My blind spot.
I was a big reader back in my day. I have an English degree.
Rock on.
Yeah, rock on. But my big focus is on what the 90s and the early 2000s did for the 2010s in books. So it's the piggyback effect.
I see.
Because I was reading. I started really reading when I was in fourth grade. And that was, oh my God, 2009-ish, 2008, 2009.
2011 or 10
for fourth grade.
I was in fourth grade in 2011 and
so okay, so 2009, 2010.
Yeah.
My bad. So I started reading those books that were like the dystopian, the
young adult literature.
It was Percy Jackson, it was The Hunger Games, it was Divergent, it was,
and you love Percy Jackson.
I loved Percy Jackson. I could do an entire podcast by myself.
Just multiple episodes.
Multiple episodes, yeah. Different seasons on Percy Jackson. I am a Percy Jackson expert, and I would love to talk about it in detail one day.
Of course.
But the way that the rom-coms from the 90s, from the early 2000s, piggybacked into young adult literature.
Yeah.
Into the literature we have now, the cliterature we have now, which is a term that is used.
Oh, man, I haven't heard that one before.
Yeah,
that's
the cliterature.
Awesome.
Yeah, all of it.
It's smut.
Yeah, it is
it's
smut.
It's porn.
Yeah, the spice level is also used.
That shit pisses me off.
Yeah. But all of those books now, all of the books with the cartoony covers, the meat cutes, the, you know, women dating dead guys,
goes
to girlfriend's past, did that first.
Guy in uniform of whatever sport it is that he's playing.
Yes, yes. Whether it's hockey or football or hockey again.
Yeah.
All of that stems, I believe, from those rom-coms where you're like idealized life that this douchebag beautiful man actually is very sweet and nice, and but only for you.
Yes, yes.
And also he's going to rock your world.
Yeah, he's brooding and sexy, and somehow as a 17-year-old is like a porn star, like sex level.
Yes, thank you Chad Michael Murray and A Cinderella Story. Like it is from that basis, and it was those young generation of girls watching those movies
that grows up
and writes the books.
Oh my god, that's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. So that's where we started. They were in the 90s. They were taking in all this information, and like, you know, girls can be the main character. We deserve all these things, and that includes being pushed up against a wall.
Yes, yes, yes. Of course, and eventually you lose the plot, like any porn addict.
No, that's actually another form of controversy going around book talk right now. Is there was I do not remember her handle. It might have been Call Me Chris. That could have been a different scandal. I get my scandals mixed up.
I see.
But she made a YouTube video about how, books like that aren't literature and should be censored more in the way of like we shouldn't be letting younger kids read these books.
It should be on a different shelf in the back of the store.
It should be on a different shelf in the back of the store with a different cover that isn't a cartoon, like pastel-y.
Right. Yeah, cover. Yeah. All of oh my god, yeah. The pastel colors. It's a shade of blue you've never seen before.
Yeah,
and the people on the cover are wearing a shade of yellow you've never seen before and a shade of red you've never seen before.
Yeah, like it's meant to be eye catching and cutesy. And she got a lot of hate for it because it was like, how dare you shame me for reading these types
yes.
of books? This is what everyone reads now these days. And then, of course, you have like the other side of it that's like, no, she's right.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't like literature. You guys aren't learning anything from this. This is like an addiction at this point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
so it's the two sides of the coin. But
the people that I worked with at my job who read those books when there aren't any customers, and I'm like, okay.
No, I'm not gonna lie. I used to work at a Kohl's, and in Kohl's they had an Amazon section, and when I was assigned the Amazon section before it was moved to customer service, that spot would be dead for hours at a time, and I would read, and sometimes I would read those silly little rom-coms because at the end of the day they are entertaining. Oh my gosh, my bandana fell down. You didn't even tell me.
I think it's been gradual.
Wonderful. It's okay. Oof.
Yeah. Oof. Headset off, headset back on, glasses back on.
Oof.
We're having a little
Oof.
Technical difficulties.
Sorry, y'all.
I'll just talk. Yeah, no, the thing with all of the smut is that, you know, it is you're like, oh, I'm gonna read some books. It's like that's a good thing for me. Reading.
Yeah.
And then you're reading and you're like, okay, so now she's fucking the uncle. Okay.
You clearly haven't read enough of these, but I will say
I'm talking about one very specific one that
I was not aware
my coworker of. Showed me.
You know what? I'm actually
the
not
Wattpad
surprised.
Notes on where she's like sticky noting, like, you know, gonna check off to this later.
No, like Wattpad. I feel like this is a complete diverge from the topic we were on, but that's okay.
No,
Wattpad and AO3, Archive of Our Own, which is another fan fiction site, is a direct, like, this was point A, was the fan fiction sites.
Yeah.
And now we have these books.
Exactly. A lot of the stuff that, again, shown me the Wattpad on her phone, and it's like, normal book right next to
not normal book, next to like, yeah, fan fiction and mm-hmm. whatnot. And then I'm like, okay, hey, what are you guys talking about? And she's like, oh, I'm showing her this book that I've been reading. And I'm like, book? And then they're like going through the notes and it's like, just, you know, whatever wicked debauchery is happening yeah. at that point in the book, which this is me recollecting memories from
yeah,
however long
of
ago.
Course.
So my details are fuzzy, but there's definitely uncle fucking happening in this book. And
yeah,
what
that doesn't
like, I don't
me.
Mean her uncle. I mean the uncle of the guy she just fucked, that they're on like a family trip.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
And that's like all the content of the book, and then it'll be like, you know, something perverse pertaining to that, and then
yeah.
it's like, okay, now let's read another book. And then it's like, I want more of that uncle cest.
Yeah, and like the point is, it's not bad to read these.
No,
but what I'm saying is, if that's the only thing you're reading, if that's the only content that you're taking in, and it's always graphic and it's always a high spice level, maybe reconsider what you're doing. Maybe add some diversity in. Maybe read something topical.
Clean your room. do a chore. Talk to your family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying there are other things to learn from books than sex positions.
Yes. And again, as it more pertains to the kind of content, less sex positions and more of increasingly perverse sex scenarios.
Yes. Because a lot of them are just like, that's what it's about.
Yeah, it's yeah, what if you were a cheerleader and the entire basketball team you know, discovers you in the wrong locker room, and it's like, yeah, that's you're describing porn.
Yeah,
yeah,
like, so yeah. The point is that those relationships were idealized in the rom-coms from
yes.
the 90s, early 2000s, and they've adapted from cutesy rom-coms with maybe a little intimacy.
Yeah, a wholesome story that has some sexual elements to
yeah.
it. But like, you know, a scene in the movie.
Yes. But they've developed into something just a little more
risque.
That would, you know.
Yeah, and I think
not suitable for work.
It is also something where that is a large output of books right now.
Absolutely.
That the young adult literature, the whole.
I would like to clarify that it isn't young adult, it's new adult, but
okay.
that genre is not
real.
Except it's a new genre. Like, it's a real thing. It's a new genre that like started to come into fruition in the late 2010s, mid to late 2010s.
Yeah.
It is basically like the young adult style in like the 20-year-old voice.
Yeah, I see what you mean. It's they are
so, like, what if a 27-year-old was kidnapped by fairies instead of a 16-year-old?
Okay, I see what you're saying. So, yeah, the sort of content and characters are less youth-focused. But what that also means is that there are less of those youth-focused books.
I don't think so.
There aren't. That is...
Young adult still exists. It's still being churned. It's just this new genre.
Okay.
Because all the people who are reading the young adult books grew up a little.
That makes sense.
And at least my perspective is like, I don't want to read about a 15-year-old for the rest of my life.
That's fair.
I have matured past that level of thinking of the 15-year-old.
Yeah. There is also a lot of pushback from other... like millennials, for example. We're not millennials. We're still children. that, you know, why are you as like a full adult person reading books that are written for / aimed at children?
Yeah, but I also think it's... That specifically just feels like a little too negative to me. I think
yeah.
it's like those people are just like, I want just a little more emotional maturity.
Yeah.
I want
yeah.
a little bit more of an adult problem.
Yeah.
Like I want a 23-year-old to have relationship issues compared to the 16-year-old
right.
girl.
Someone who's like graduated college.
Yeah, someone of age that I can relate to.
That makes sense.
And I can vision myself within that role now mm-hmm. because that's what reading is a lot for people.
Yeah.
So really, is that form of escapism.
So really it is just about how those books are being sold. And
yes. So because it is such a closely related genre and was born from the YA genre.
Right. It's like YA part two.
It's YA part two. And it's not distinct enough that parents know about that.
So they're just like, hey, I found a book about someone in high school.
Yeah.
Who has a crush on this hockey player.
Yeah. And it's just... It's porno. So you get a 14-year-old
yeah, she's
reading
like,
that stuff.
Yeah, you know, eyes wide, like, the what?
Yeah, exactly. What a crazy topic.
It is
90s,
a crazy topic.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's where we came out of that.
The 90s.
I think we have lots of things that can be clipped.
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Look out for this on all social media platforms.
On all the social media platforms.
Oh, yeah, let's plug a little bit.
So, pulling back the curtain a little bit. We don't have anything.
We have not made anything
this
yet.
This is the first thing we're actually making.
Yeah.
So what that means is that I guess the bottom of the screen, I'll do that thing, will be where I post all of the
all the
stuff.
Socials. Presumably it'll be streaming everywhere now.
It'll be streaming everywhere now. That's why it's called that. The goal right now, as I have not even edited it yet because I haven't stopped recording, is
you need to get on top of that, man.
I know, geez. Having our main channel where the full episode gets posted, a clip channel where stuff gets clipped and turned into either like actual long conversations as well as the minute long sound bites, short form content,
mm-hmm.
as well as accounts on every social media that we can get our grubby little paws on.
So make sure to like and follow.
Yeah, like and follow us everywhere. We wanna keep up this.
Yeah.
It's gonna mainly be a video podcast. That's the goal.
But we want you to be able to listen.
I'm gonna have an RSS feed of some sort. Not gonna lie, I have not looked into that at all.
What that means is hopefully you'll be able to listen to us on Spotify.
Yes, exactly. Wherever you get your podcasts, as they say, which means that you don't have to have us open on YouTube on your phone while you're doing chores, but you can rather turn it on in the background, like in your car,
yeah.
Or while you're going to bed, while you're working out.
We'll be there.
You'll be listening, I hope, to all of the wonderful insights that we have. I think that's a good place to end it.
Yeah, it's a good place to wrap up. Thank you so much for listening to the first episode of Streaming Everywhere Now.
We love you, and we hope that you will be back for more.
Yeah.
I know we will, because
that's what we're doing.
We're putting all our ads in this basket.
We are.
So if you don't like it, we will kill ourselves.
Oop.
Maybe Oop. Not. But just a little bit of, you know, hey, you know.
We're trying,
like
y'all.
Us, you know,
we're
like
trying,
us.
Y'all.
We're trying. And we'll try even harder next time. It'll be even better.
Maybe we won't go on a long off tangent that had nothing to do with the episode. But
maybe we will. Maybe we will. Maybe that's why you want to listen to us talk.
Yeah.
Because it's our natural, organic chemistry and conversations.
Yeah. So with that being said.
Yeah, I've been Nathan.
I've been Jay.
And this has been Streaming Everywhere Now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for watching. And
bye,
goodbye.
Y'all. Bye.
Have a good one.